I see I've made it through the night. I listen for my family. Sure enough, they're all right. As we gather round the table, bow our heads in thankfulness. With tear-filled eyes, my heart cries, still blessed. There's never a day He doesn't give me all I need. Even when I wake up to the storm, my soul cries peace. Sometimes I try to count them, they're too many, I confess. So with arms upraised, I just say, still blessed. Now I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave my friends. Oh, but lately I've been homesick. How I long just to be with Him. So in the morning, should you find me with my eyes closed in death, oh, what victory, what glory, still blessed. There's never a day He doesn't give me all I need. Even when I wake up to the storm, my soul cries peace. Sometimes I try to count them, they're too many, I confess. So with arms upraised, I just say, still blessed. Sometimes I try to count them, there are too many, I confess. So with arms upraised, I just say, still blessed. There are too many, I confess. So with arms upraised, there are too many, I confess. So with arms upraised, I just say, still blessed.
Wow, wow, I want more of that. I don't know about you, but that song overwhelms me. Listen, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I get overwhelmed. I really do. I get overwhelmed because I'm so blessed. 84 years old, been saved 86 years. Oh, 66 years. I'm sorry. 68 years. I get it right. 68 years going on 69. And I love Him more than ever. He's real. He's real. I read all these terrible things that are happening everywhere, and I think of God's grace that keeps His people right there in His mercy and right there in His grace, and He meets our needs. The Bible says, they that love Him, all things work together for those that love Him and those that keep His promises and live according to His word. I'm thinking about preaching in the morning on the word that has to do with that. I mean, we are predestinated. Did you know that? Every believer is predestinated, and every unbeliever is predestinated. They're just called but not chosen. The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. How many of you out there right now, God has a call for you, and you just won't listen? You just won't obey Him. You just won't follow in His footsteps and do His will. Called, but not chosen. Many are called, but few, it says, are chosen. But God has a predestination for you if you would just obey it. If you just get right in the middle of it and do the will of God and walk with Him, it'd be amazing what would happen in your life. Today, we've got a grand program. I'm going to talk about the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon. But I'm going to do something a little different. I want you to see the Battle of Armageddon is part, a great big part, of the blood offering of Jesus Christ on the cross. Have you thought about that? Did you know the judgments of God are all planned and determined and will be fulfilled because Jesus Christ has paid the price to bring an end to sin, to judge all sin, to judge and cleanse the whole universe, and to make this whole world a place of righteousness and holiness, a place of beauty, a place of triumph, a place of triumph. So hear me when I tell you the blood offering of Jesus has already planned the judgment of your sins. If you keep on in your wicked ways, you're going to pay an answer to God in Christ Jesus, and His blood will determine that you can't get away with disobedience and doing your own thing and rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. You crucify the Son of God afresh, and you put Him to an open shame. The Bible says, when you reject Him and you turn from Him, you crucify Him afresh. It's just like you're standing there driving those great spikes into His hands and hanging Him on that tree yourself. You are doing it. You're crucifying Him afresh, and you're putting Him to an open shame when you don't live for Christ. So I cry out to you today. I really do. If ever you have got yourself right with God and turned to righteousness and holiness and purity, the hour is demanding that, my dear friend. The hour is demanding that. Now let's go to our Bible in just a moment. But I first want to give you a kind of outline. The Battle of Armageddon. When does the Battle of Armageddon occur? How evident is it, and how soon could it be? Are you listening to me? Will you help me? Now, I got the phones fixed where I can take phone calls. So if you hear something you want a little deeper understanding of, just grab your phone, 391-0588. That's the number right here into my office, right here on my equipment. All I got to do is hit a couple of buttons and you'll be on the air. Are you understanding that? And I would love to answer questions today. But I want to give you an outline, the background plan. See, the next thing on God's calendar is a rapture. The rapture of the blessed saints of God. The catching up of the righteous dead and the righteous living. Okay? That's the next event. It could happen any minute. From that event, there's only 7 years until the Battle of Armageddon. 7 years. Now, during those 7 years, some things are happening. Number one, there's a 7-year tribulation period on this earth. This earth is going to go through hell like no man has ever seen. If you think this virus, this pandemic has been bad, it's nothing. It's not even a Sunday school picnic. I'm telling you, it is a Sunday school picnic compared to what's about to happen on this earth. You got to get yourself ready for that. If you're going to be here, it's going to be hell on earth. I'm telling you. I'll go to that if I get a chance in a little bit. But I want first to lay this groundwork for the Battle of Armageddon. You got to understand the rapture's first. Then there's two things, one in heaven and one on the earth. Something's going on in heaven during the 7 years, and something's going on the earth during the 7 years. You got to understand that. You'll be part of one or the other. You'll either be part of the thing taking place in heaven, or you'll be part of what's going on down here, or you'll be in the grave. One of the two, really. So, what's going on down here is tribulation. Hell on earth. The Antichrist is turned loose. The devil is cast out of heaven and cast down to the earth. The Bible says he comes down with great wrath, knowing he has but a short season, a short time. Now, you can be here, or you might be at the marriage supper if you're walking with God, if you're living a godly life, a pure Bible-centered life. If you think because you were saved 40 years ago and you don't go to church anymore and you don't live a Christian life anymore, you're still saved. But I'm telling you, you're going to wake up one morning and find out it was a lie. that it wasn't true. That you cannot just get saved and live like you please. When you get saved, you become the vessel of the Lord. He is either Lord of all, or He is not Lord at all. You've got to remember that. He's either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. And only those where He is Lord are going to go in that rapture. You've got to hear me when I say that, because I say it with great stress, to get your attention and to get you living a life of surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So those two things, one or the other, will be taking place during 7 years from the moment of the rapture to the moment of the great battle of Armageddon. Between those 7 years, you'll either be in heaven at the rapture, at the marriage supper, a great event in heaven, on the sea of glass, the Bible calls it. I've been working on a sermon about the sea of glass. I hadn't got there yet. I never preached that in my life. Never heard nobody else preach it, but I'm working on it, and I will have it as the Holy Spirit opens it up to me. The sea of glass, that's the location of the marriage supper. The location of the marriage supper, a grand place. A magnificent banqueting area where the greatest event of the church world will be taking place, called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And at the end of that marriage supper, Jesus will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the whole earth. This is an event not just for heaven, but for a 1,000-year millennial reign. And He'll be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then, once those 7 years are finished, Jesus leaves heaven on a white horse. That's what the Bible says. You don't believe it? Well, that's up to you. The Bible says a white horse, a white stallion. And all the raptured saints will be behind Him, coming back to the earth. So you got to have a rapture because we're coming back to the earth. You couldn't go to Revelation 19 and believe what the Bible said if you didn't believe in the rapture. Now, you may differ on when it occurs, but I can tell you it occurs before Jesus comes back to set up His kingdom on this earth. What a day. What an hour that's going to be. Now, get your Bible. We're going to go to the book of Revelation chapter 19. We're going to start with verse 11. And we're going to spend a while. It ain't going to happen quickly. It's going to take a little time to go through it. But it is going to be beautiful. I guarantee you. Chapter 19 of Revelation, and beginning with verse 11. Now, this is the picture, the Bible picture, that John the Revelator saw. Now, he didn't hear it. He saw it. Listen, it says, "And I saw heaven open." John said, "I saw it." It was like a great drama in front of him. He beheld it acted out right in his vision. And he saw this whole thing, as I'm going to read to you and explain to you. And we're not going to be in a hurry. If you've never really read Revelation 19, it's high time you learn to read it. It's high time it becomes part of your vocabulary. It is a marvelous truth. It is a marvelous truth, okay? Can we do it together? Will you listen? Now, we're talking about the Battle of Armageddon, and I'm showing you clearly that it's an action that comes out of the blood sacrifice that Jesus made. I'm going to show you a moment how the blood figures in to this marvelous, marvelous moment of the great Battle of Armageddon. Now, you know this battle takes place in Megiddo. Megiddo. That's up north of Israel, not far from Nazareth, where Jesus was born. In fact, I've been to Megiddo. Megiddo. I've been there, and you can see the hill on which Nazareth is situated, from the place in the valley of Megiddo. You can actually see the hill where Nazareth is, and where Jesus, they tried to cast Jesus off. I remember being there, and I remember our guides pointing us to that hill. Can you see that hill way off in the distance? Yes, you can see it. That's the hill on which Nazareth is seated, right behind what you can see. And that's where Jesus, they made an effort to cast Him off. So, you know, it's going to be in the area of Israel, in the Valley of Megiddo. That's where the battle is going to take place. And so let's read the scripture as it describes that. See, this is the Bible. I don't know whether you're involved in Revelation or not, but you are really missing something grand. I wish you'd get my book on the name of the book. It doesn't come out. Well, anyhow, I wrote a book on the book of Revelation. It's a good book, verse by verse. It is really the kind of book that you need. The great miracle of the Battle of Armageddon, the great miracle of the whole event of the book of Revelation. There's nothing more exciting than the book of Revelation called The Masterpiece. I had to look over to the title here. The Masterpiece. That's the name of my book. And you need to order a copy of it. Let's go. Revelation 19:13. And I saw heaven opened. And I saw heaven opened. This is John. He's looking. He sees it. Somebody said, I don't believe the book of Revelation. Then John's telling you an untruth by the Holy Ghost. And this is part of the Bible. Come on. You can't say something like that. Don't dare. Don't dare put down this book. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, notice that in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. See, fixing to have a battle. This is the mother of all battles. This is the mother. You know, Saddam Hussein said that the war down in Kuwait, when we were driving him out, was going to be the mother of battles. Well, it wasn't. You know that better than I do, as good as I do. But I'm here to tell you, friend, this is a beautiful picture. And this is a battle of righteousness, not a battle of anger, not a battle of getting even. It's not some kind of vengeance experience. It's Jesus judging the world. That's what it is. It's Jesus fulfilling all the reason he died on that cross and shed his blood for you so that he could clean up this world and make it a place of righteousness. Let me read that first verse again. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now you got to understand, this is the Son of the living God, the mighty Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Emmanuel that came and died for us on the cross, was resurrected, ascended back to heaven, was exalted above all humankind, all individuals, and given a name which is above all names, the name of Jesus. And now his eyes were as a flame of fire. John is seeing this now. And on his head were many crowns. And on his head, many crowns. He's the King of Kings now, soon to be crowned. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Are you listening? This is the book of Revelation 19:13. If you just join me. Now listen to this. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Now, the blood of Jesus is the only way he could condemn sin. The only way he could judge wickedness. The only way he could put an end to the Antichrist and the false prophet. The only way he could cast the devil into the bottomless pit. The only way he could do all the things that he's about to do was he was doing them by his own blood. It was his blood sacrifice. His blood sacrifice that enabled the Son of God to judge wickedness and to judge sin. Judge the powers of hell. So he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Now, where in the world did he find blood in heaven to dip his garment in? How? He hasn't even got on the white horse yet. He's about to ride. He's about to leave heaven and come to this earth. He's about to face the devil, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the armies that they have created out of the many armies of the nations of the world. This is the most massive crowd. This is the most well-equipped equipped crowd. They had all the armor necessary. They had all the tanks necessary. They had the whole, they had the fleet of their planes. I'm telling you, they were armed to the teeth. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, gets on a white horse in heaven, and his garment is dipped in blood. Now, let me tell you something. That garment dipped in blood, that vesture dipped in blood, completely turns the tide of that whole war. Those armors and those great tanks and those great planes and those millions of soldiers, the whole crowd are rendered as nothing but they're helpless now when the Son of God is dressed in a vesture dipped in blood. That's his blood. Now you hear me, and don't you doubt me. That's his blood. No other animal has ever been slain in heaven, or no animal, I should say, rather than other, has ever been slain in heaven. No human being has ever been slain in heaven. No blood has ever been spilled in the heavenly realm. The Bible makes it plain, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has no reflection in blood except one blood. And that was divine blood from the Son of the living God. And Jesus had put his blood on that altar in the heavenly temple. He entered in once. You want to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, I think it's verse 13 or 14, right in there. And you'll find that he went into that holy place one time with blood and offered it for us. So he went to heaven on the morning of his resurrection. He told Martha, "I don't touch me. Don't touch me. Go tell my disciples I ascend to heaven. I ascend to God and to the Father, your Father and my Father." And so he went to heaven, put his blood on that altar in the heavenly city. You know why there's power in there in that altar at our church? It is because it is an extension of that altar in heaven. Every true altar is an extension of the altar in heaven. And thereby, as an extension, it has blood on it. Not literally, but by extension. But by divine transferal. Because God has made every true altar on earth an extension of the one altar in the heavenly temple where the blood of Jesus is on that altar. Oh, I wish you'd hear me. You see, I'm realizing that the reason the great revival hasn't started that we're praying for is because almost nobody is preaching about the blood. I'm calling on every preacher that hears me today, every church member that knows anything about the Bible and have any influence over your pastors to help me get our preachers preaching about the blood. Because this Holy Ghost revival that's coming has got to come by the blood. There's nothing else that will bring a revival but the blood of Jesus. Paul the Apostle said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Are you hearing, Brother Chambers? Now, let's go back to this text. Listen, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. He is clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. See, this book, the Bible says, this testament has no power unless it has within it the death of the testator. The testator was Jesus Christ. How did he win a battle for us so that the testament is powerful? He did it with his blood. So the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Son of the living God, is the victory of salvation, the victory of overcoming sin, the victory of being healed in your body. Every victory the church wins, it wins by the blood. Every time we pull down the strongholds of hell, we have to do it by the blood. And you have that right. Did you know Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." How is it through God? By the blood, by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, by the blood, by the Holy Spirit, and by the Word of God. I love that, don't you? Is that beautiful to you? Faithful and true and righteous, he doth judge and make war. His vesture is dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. The armies which were in heaven followed him. Now notice they're clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now that's the verse 14, Revelation 19, if you just joined us. And we're talking about the battle of Armageddon. We have Jesus on a white horse, his garment dipped in his own blood, right there in the temple of heaven. He's now about to descend, and gathering behind him is that great raptured crowd. That great crowd who was at the marriage supper of the Lamb, who helped crown Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Woo! Hallelujah! What a blessedness. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Now notice, clothed in fine linen. Now, you study Revelation, you'll find the saints were clothed in fine linen. The saints were clothed in white garments, fine linens, white and clean. That's the righteousness of the saints, the Bible says. That's a type, that's a picture of the righteousness of the saints. And out of his mouth, now, this is Jesus. Again, back to Jesus. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Are you telling me that a literal sword comes out of his mouth? No, I'm telling you that the biblical description of a sword is the Bible. The Bible, hallelujah, the Word of God is a sword. The Bible speaks of that very clearly in the Scripture, that the Word of God is like a sword. It cuts and cleans, it purifies, it separates between righteousness and wickedness. It separates between God's hand and the devil's doings. It really is powerful. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite them. With it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Now Jesus is coming back to do something magnificent. Let me tell you some things he's coming back to do. Let's make sure we get this. One, he comes back to defeat that army that's gathered in Megiddo. He's coming to defeat that army that's gathered in Megiddo. He's coming to take the Antichrist and the false prophets and to cast him into the lake of fire. He's coming to take the devil and put him in the bottomless pit. He's coming to defeat every force that's part of that great army. And then he marches from there to Jerusalem. To Jerusalem. When he gets to Jerusalem, he goes up on the Temple Mount. And the Temple Mount, he enters in that eastern gate that's been closed for hundreds of years. They've tried to open it, and they can't. Somehow, some way, God always stops it. Because that's the gate that will be open for the Son of God. The Bible makes that plain. The Bible makes that plain. So that eastern gate will be open on that day. And Jesus will enter into the Temple Mount. It won't be the Mosque of Omar any longer. It will be the temple of the Holy God, the temple of the Jewish people. Oh, what God is going to do is overwhelming. Out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. You see, when Jesus comes back at this point for the battle of Armageddon, he comes back to set up his kingdom. A 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, and the world's going to have peace. Now, you do understand it's been 6,000 years since the Garden of Eden. You do understand the first 6 days of the Holy Week are already somewhere close to their conclusion. The Jews say it's a while yet. The Gentiles, the Roman calendar says we're already a little bit past it, 20 years past it. Somewhere in between the two is what exactly it is. And I can tell you right now, we're at the end, right at the end of 6,000 years. And the next 1,000 years is going to be his reign on the earth. Now, I wonder why every preacher in the world don't preach that. Why don't everybody preach that we're coming down to the end of the 6-day week, and now we got one more day, and it's the Sabbath day. It's the Sabbath day. I'm talking about the whole of human history now. 6 days, 6,000 years, and now we're coming down to the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I get amazed when preachers won't even preach this. They don't even believe it. They throw the book of, oh, I can't understand the book of Revelation. No, I know why you can't, because you're too lazy to get on your knees and stay there for some hours and weeks and even months and sometimes years. You know, I've been studying the book of Revelation since I pastored at Black Mountain. And you know when that was? 1964 to 1968. And sometimes right after I got to Black Mountain, I'm not sure exactly, I would say it was maybe 2 years into my time there, so it was somewhere 66, I got a hold of a book called the Apocalypse, which is a book written by a Lutheran preacher named Joseph Exhale. And that book is something else. And I got to digging in it. I got to digging in the book of Revelation. And I got to learn in prophecy. And so now I've been digging into prophecy all those years since 1966. That's something like 54 years. Something like 54 years. And I'm telling you, it don't get worse. It gets better. It gets more wonderful, 54 years. And this book is a real book. And the book of Revelation is right on target. We are right now in the third chapter of the book of Revelation. We're coming down to the end of the church age. The last church is the Laodicea. That means the church of mob rule. If we don't have a church of mob rule, we never will have one of mob rule. And so we are right there. I don't know the moment. It may be some days. It may be some weeks. It may be some months. It may be some years. I don't know. I don't think so. I know one thing. You can see the evidence everywhere. And if you're not right with God, you're playing the part of a very, 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 how do I say it? You're playing the part of an unthinking person. The Bible speaks of the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. Listen, let me tell you, friend, there's a God that rules this universe. You look around you and you see a lot of trouble. But I'm telling you, God is still in charge. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations. The nations, look at them right now. Look at the nations, how they're rejecting God. Look at how many don't even believe in God Jehovah. Look at how many of them are serving other gods, from Allah to Muhammad, and on and on and on goes the other false gods. Muhammad was, of course, a prophet, a so-called of Allah. Oh, you got so much out there that people are going to. But I'm telling you, the Bible is still the infallible word of God. There's one God, and his name is Jehovah. There's one God, and his name is Jehovah. He's got one Son, and his name is Jesus. There's one Comforter, and the name is the Holy Spirit. And God is soon to be revealed. God is soon. Oh, I am so excited. I've been on this radio how many years now? Something like 48, 49, to telling you the same thing I'm preaching today. I've not changed my message at all. I've not changed my message at all. It's been the same. The Holy Bible is true. Every word of it is right. Jesus is coming soon. Oh, what a day it's going to be. So he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth, notice, the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, I got to get you to help me. Listen to me. If Jesus is going to tread the winepress of the wrath of God, he's going to go right in there where the wine press is and the rubber meets the road, and he's going to clean up the mess. He's going to judge every ounce of wickedness. He's going to judge every ounce of darkness. On what basis can he do that? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. He has no right to judge sin if he doesn't do it because of the blood. Preachers, you got to preach this. The blood is what's going to bring us to a Holy Ghost awakening. We're going to have a river of revival that's going to flow, but it's going to be built on the blood. It's going to be a glorious, triumphant moment of the blood, just like Pentecost. Remember, it happened 50 days after he was resurrected, and I don't know how many days now, but I can tell you that great river of Holy Ghost revival is coming. I'm getting ready for it day by day in the prayer altar here at the Paul Creek Church, and I just look for it any moment. I am expecting it. I know it's coming. I don't have any doubt. It ain't a doubt. Ain't a moment of doubt in me. There is not an ounce of doubt of this truth I'm preaching to you. I know without a question this is going to happen, just like this Bible records. Now let's move on. But he's going to tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath, of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now that he does that by blood. He don't do that by his physical strength as a Jewish man. He does it by his divinity, by his divine nature as the Son of the living God, and by the divine blood that he spilt on that cross. And he had on his vesture, that same vesture now that was dipped in blood, he has on it and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So how many out there would declare with me, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, hallelujah. What a day. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. That song a while ago was so beautiful because I am blessed. Every day I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I'm headed for the sky. I'm blessed because I'm walking the pathway that is paved with the blood of Jesus Christ. Every day I'm striving to live under the power and the victory and the triumph of the blood. I'm begging you to start living under the power and the victory and the triumph of the blood. Now, you can't do that, live a carnal, fleshly life. You can't do that half-hearted and half-baked. You can't do that if you're not surrendered and sold out to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's time to walk that pathway to the sky. It leads. See, the only road that leads to the sky is a road paved with blood. You understand? The only parkway there is between here and the heavenly city is a parkway paid with the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I couldn't emphasize the blood to you more today. It's been on my heart for weeks now to emphasize the blood, to call people back to the blood, to plead with the church world, to start preaching the blood, to plead with preachers, to start preaching the cross and the blood and the sacrifice of Christ and showing people how glorious that sacrifice is. I plan to preach on the blood in the morning, and I'm going to preach the four things that the blood ultimately reflects in redemption. Now, I've preached a lot of things about the blood. This is going to be different. This is going to be powerful. And I hope you'll come and hear it. I hope you'll come and hear it. We got a nice little party tomorrow for one of our teenagers that's graduated. And they're going to serve a marvelous meal. I tell you, when they was telling me yesterday what all was being brought, I'm overwhelmed. And you're welcome to come and stay for the meal with us. There's no question. I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll come. I tell you, you need to get back in church. We do safe things here. We keep people seated apart. I'm going to tell you in the morning, no hugging necks, no shaking hands. You can elbow people if you want to, you know, flush your elbows, you know, do your fists. I don't know how the best way, but we're going to sanctify our hands when we come in the door. We got something at the doors for you to absolutely sanctify. I keep saying sanctify because that's the word I like. I like the word sanctify. Same thing. It's just a spiritual thing. But sanitize your hands as you come in the door. You can do it spiritually, of course, but you need to do it physically. See, good people get sick. Did you know that? Christian people get sick. Did you know that? So be careful. We've had nothing but beautiful success here, and we're going to do it with all we got. Our school is going. This place is sanitized early every morning before anybody gets here but Brother Chambers. And I get this place sanitized. I don't allow no germs in this building. I'm telling you. I'm crying out to God to help me, to keep us under his divine hand and care. And he is. Oh, I can tell it. I can feel it. Other people are saying the same thing. Well, let me go on with the scripture. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen to that. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, listen, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now, this event is called the supper of the great God. Did you hear that? The supper of the great God. Why is it a supper? Because wickedness has prevailed. Wickedness has done great damage to this world. Wickedness has brought many cultures to their destruction. Wickedness has sent a multitude of people into the region of the damned to spend eternity in a lake of fire. And so God is getting ready to bring an end to all that wickedness and that sin and that ugliness and all the things the devil has done. And so they call for the fowls of the air to come and eat the flesh of those that are going to die. I wonder what would be the number of the multitude that die in that battle of Armageddon. It's incredible. I know he's calling for all. Let me read that again. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven. He's calling the fowls from all over the earth, calling the fowls from all over the earth to fly and come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Now listen, you talk about a day of judgment. This is going to be a day of judgment. There's no way to describe it. I'm telling you, the wickedness of this world is going to pay the piper. The wickedness of this world is going to be judged by the mighty God, the great Jehovah God. You see, Father, the Father's in the middle of this battle. The Father's in the middle of this battle. It's a glorious and wonderful moment. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the throne, on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. They both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now you got to hear, Brother Chambers. You got to hear me. The Antichrist and the false prophet are there. They've reigned on the earth 7 years. They have brought great damage and darkness to this world. What I read about that, the 13th chapter of Revelation, it gives a whole picture of the Antichrist and the false prophet. It lays it out in every detail. There's no question about who they are. The Antichrist and the false prophet, it makes the devil's trinity. See, the devil has his own trinity. The devil himself presents himself as God. The Antichrist presents himself as the Christ. And the false prophet presents himself as the false anointed. I said that many, many years ago when I did a video on the false anointed. That's a false prophet that presents himself as though he were the Holy Spirit. And the whole so-called revival of the charismatic movement was almost totally the act of this false prophet. Oh, there were good people involved. There were some good people that really loved God that got all deceived and caught up in that mess. But I'm here to tell you, God had the final word. Did you know that? God always has the final word. And so the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be cast into the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. At the battle of Armageddon now. Notice this. Not later. Right there in Megiddo. Right there, not too far from Jerusalem. See, they're there to get ready to march on Jerusalem. You got to understand, when this battle takes place, already Rome has been destroyed. The Antichrist did that. Already Babylon has been destroyed, or the capital of the Antichrist kingdom. God does that. And now they're angry. I mean, they're angry. The only thing left for them is Jerusalem. And so they are gathered in the valley of Megiddo to march on Jerusalem. And so God moves before Jerusalem is attacked again. Jerusalem has been attacked almost its last time. Now, I don't know what can happen during 7 years, but I know at the end of 7 years, the Lord Jesus is going to make it his capital. It's going to be the grand capital of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a day. My friend, I hope you understand what Brother Chambers is saying to you today. The battle of Armageddon, the mother of all battles. All I can tell you is it will have to be at least 7 years away. But it don't have to be more than 7 years away. If Jesus comes today, then the 7 years of the Antichrist reign will begin. And then at the end of that 7 years, when the devil has had his fling, when the devil has had his fling. He's done his best, but he's failed, and he's failed miserably. Oh, I knew this thing would probably go out on me. Oh, it's going to be all right. I'm on my way back, so don't worry. I promise you, friend, we are really getting ready. How soon is it, Brother Chambers? All we got to do is the rapture's got to take place. When could that happen? Any minute. The rapture is absolutely any minute. I get to thinking some days this is going to be it. Well, it hasn't happened yet today. It may happen. Oh, it may happen. But I'm looking for a Holy Ghost revival while we wait for it. That's my prayer. That's my burden. It is a sovereign visitation of the Holy Ghost. The Bible promised a latter rain visitation. It can start before the rapture. It can start at the rapture. It can start right after the rapture. But it's going to happen between now and when this battle of Armageddon occurs. A revival, a great Holy Ghost awakening. Many of you maybe will get saved. You've been hard-headed and you've crucified him afresh. You've gone on with your own life. Many of you are members of good churches. Many preachers no longer preach the old-fashioned things like I'm preaching today. I don't know what all is going on out there. I don't have time to visit churches and find out. But I know most of the people I meet are not on fire for God. They used to be full of the Holy Ghost. They used to pray and live in the Spirit, spend hours with God. But now they're so careless, so careless. But the beast is going to be taken, with him the false prophet. That wrought miracles. Remember the miracles that happened in Revelation 13? The Antichrist is going to perform miracles that will deceive the very elect, if possible, the Bible says. Millions. Millions on top of millions will be deceived and will serve the Antichrist. Will think he's the Christ. Did you know that people during the 7 years will actually worship the Antichrist, believing it's Jesus Christ? They'll actually listen and obey the false prophet, believing he's the Holy Spirit. I've seen so many things done in the name of the false prophet. I have read things that blew my mind, that just overwhelmed me, where people fell right into the framework of the false prophet and the false Antichrist. It's everywhere. Look at the music today you got in churches. Rock music in the house of God. Nothing but the music of the devil. The music of the Antichrist. The worship in many churches is Antichrist worship. When you got churches that have no godliness, no righteousness, nobody being washed in the blood, nobody being filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, nobody with the gifts of the Spirit. Friend, you got a situation getting ready for the end. Getting ready for the end. Now, I got so much more I can say. I could go to Revelation 13 and take you there for a while. Let me read the rest of this. I think I need to do that. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. See, you got a multitude here that have received the mark of the beast. Oh, Brother Chambers, I'll get forgiveness if I receive that mark. Oh, no, you won't. There is no such thing as getting forgiveness for receiving the mark of the beast. When the Antichrist breaks upon our world, he will do everything in his power to deceive you, to keep you from getting saved, to keep you from turning to Christ. And multitudes will turn to the Antichrist, and they'll receive his mark. They'll become tools of the devil. The moment you take the mark of the beast, you'll be a child of Satan, just like the moment you washed in the blood, you become a child of God. So the devil will have his substitute, his alternative. And multitudes will turn to that alternative. Them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Who is that? Those who take the mark and those who worship the Antichrist. Those who take the mark and those who worship the Antichrist. If you are left here and the rapture has taken place, don't you take no mark. And don't you worship no false Christ. But you'll be greatly, greatly attacked to worship him and to follow him. Everybody on the face of the earth will have to take a mark. Do you understand how ready our world is for the mark of the beast? Do you understand that? Do you understand? We are so close. And this whole epidemic that we've had, this virus, has been a tool of the devil to bring the one world order to a closer dimension, to a closer fulfillment. Everything is getting our world ready for one world order. The political war in America right now. Now, I'm not going to get involved politically, but I'm going to tell you the difference between the Antichrist world and a more American life and a freedom for Bible truth and a freedom for worship. And you better discern it, friend. You better discern it. I'm calling on you to open up your mind and hear what's going on in our world. Anybody that believes in taking or killing children, aborting. I got to get the right word here. Let me tell you, how many of you listened to my program last Saturday? I'm going to take a moment here to reverse back. The program last Saturday was a marvelous program on trafficking in human souls, trafficking in the souls of men. We've had about 800 and some, 860. I saw the last number on our Facebook. That's just the Facebook crowd, 860. Then there was YouTube, and then there was radio, and then there was internet. I don't know how big a crowd we had last Saturday, but it was huge. As I said, 860 have registered on Facebook. Well, let me tell you what's happened since last Saturday, a week ago. 39 children were found down in Georgia. 39 children were found in Georgia. 9 suspects were arrested for trafficking in children in Georgia this past week. And then in Mississippi, 23 were arrested, and it doesn't say how many children they had dealt with. It must have been even a bigger crowd of children. And these are children that have been in different ways kidnapped, just all kinds of deception that they use. And then yesterday, we had a district attorney in Ashe County. His name was Larry Dix, that was arrested for action against children, action against a child. Indecent behavior. What in the world is wrong with our world? That's 3 things in a week. And after I just did the program last Saturday. Keep up with this, friend. Fox News is the ones who announced the first 2. I'm not sure about the third one. But the Georgia event where 39 children were found, 20-some of them was in a mobile home, awaiting to be transferred. However, they were planning the transfer of those children. And others was in a different location. Can you imagine people that would kidnap children in shopping malls, in homes, maybe even sold to them by some mothers. I am finding out that moms and dads will actually raise children to sell so they can put food on their table. Raise children to sell. Get them at the proper age. Sell them for a huge sum of money. And then they live on the fruit of what they sold their children. Oh, God, help us. How did our world come to such filth? And then that situation in Mississippi, we don't know how many children it was, but 23 adults. Now, you know, the president of the United States, Trump, made a promise in his running for office that he'd do something about the traffic in human lives. He would do something about it. And apparently he is, because 2 of those big cases was U.S. Marshals. And their word was, I'm trying to find it here. Unforgotten. I'm not getting Operation Called Not Forgotten. I like that. The operation of these U.S. Marshals was called Not Forgotten. They remembering those children. They're going after their abusers. Thank God for that. Can you say praise the Lord? Pray for those marshals. Men like that get out, and many times they get killed. These people they're vicious. They're out to make multiplied money off of kidnapping children and all the sex traffic they're part of. And to think that a county commissioner in Ashe County, Larry Dix, would be involved in something like that. I don't know, somebody may be hearing me up there. And maybe you didn't know this, but learn the truth of it. Get on the internet. Find out all that's going on. And watch your children. I say watch your children. Mama, don't ever let your kid out on the street without you out there watching. Don't ever let your kids in shopping malls without you there. Don't you ever. I cried to you. Don't you ever. You keep your children under your own, under coattail, close at hand. Keep your hand on them. Know where they are. know what's going on, because we got a world full of wicked people. Now, I want to take some calls. I meant to do this earlier. Don't have but about 8 minutes. The phone line is open. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Let me put that number up here so you can see it. And so if possible, you can grab it and call me. I'd love to talk with a few of you and just see what you are thinking. What are you doing? What are you doing to keep your children safe? What are you doing in your community? Be part of it, will you? 704-391-0588. Now, does everybody out there understand this great battle of Armageddon? Do you understand that that's when Jesus comes back to reign on this earth 1,000 years? He comes back to defeat the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil. And do you know that when he comes back and he winds up in Jerusalem, that all Israel is going to be saved? The Jewish people are going to turn to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Isn't that beautiful? The Jewish people are going to turn to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You on the air? May I help you, please?
Hello, Pastor Chambers. I've got a question about the mark of the beast.
Okay.
Have you seen on the news where they are doing those microchips, putting the microchips in people so they won't have to? I think it was in Seattle where they can.
Oh, that's a big thing that's coming. Yes. Is that the mark of the beast? It will become. See, nothing can be the mark of the beast until the mark of the beast is in control. Right now, we're waiting for the rapture.
Yeah.
The restrainer holds the devil at bay. But as soon as the rapture is over, and they may institute more and more of this before the rapture. We don't really know. Do you know, I've said for years on radio, we are going to think we are in the tribulation before it starts. It's going to get so bad. And we're already right there. It feels like tribulation out there to me, but it's not here yet. So the mark of the beast will be a mark of Satan. It will have his identity. It may be a chip. It may be a something painted on the back of your hand or on your forehead. I don't know what it's going to be. Nobody knows. The Antichrist is going to slip it in, and people will become part of it after, of course, he's in charge and not even know it, maybe. But you can't be guilty of taking the devil's mark and not be guilty of at least knowing what you're doing.
Oh, okay. Because my husband was saying, like, if they got rid of the money and stuff now, that he may get the microchip.
That's the whole purpose of it, see. The reason money is becoming almost obsolete. We all use our debit cards and our charge cards. And it's not wrong to use our debit cards and charge cards. But all of it is preparing the world for their control. And that will come very, very soon. I believe we are so close until it's scary. We're so close. All right. Any more questions? I want to help you. I'm very concerned. Very concerned.
Okay. So if we got the microchips now, we wouldn't be.
Well, I would not call the microchip now the Antichrist, but I surely wouldn't take it. Nobody should take it. I don't believe anybody should take a mark like that and let them put it into their body. Not on your life, I wouldn't do it.
Oh, okay.
But it can't be the Antichrist until the Antichrist is here. See, what we're watching the world get ready for the Antichrist. We're watching a one world government come into being. Why is Donald Trump hated so bad? Why is the leader of Israel hated so bad? Because we're the only two nations with Israel that's resisting the one world government. We are resisting it. Our president is resisting it. The leader of Israel is resisting it. And both of them are hated with a passion that's indescribable. Why? Because they're resisting the one world order.
Right. Oh, yeah, I believe that, brother.
Well, it's no question. God bless you, dear lady. Live for Jesus. He's coming soon.
I will. Thank you, brother.
God bless you. Anybody else, please grab your phone and call. I would love to answer your question. I'm here for you. I'm here because I care. We are so near the appearance of the Antichrist. Can't appear until Jesus appears. Can't appear until we disappear. The Antichrist can't come till the saints disappear. I'm telling you, the restrainer has got to be removed. And the restrainer is the Holy Spirit in the saints. Saints full of the Holy Ghost. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you are sitting duck for the devil to deceive. If ever people have lived a godly life, this day demands a godly life. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, this is Ruth Priest. My husband is Jimmy Priest. He passed away last year at Home Be With Jesus. He listened to me every Saturday. He wouldn't miss it for anything.
I am delighted. May God bless him and get ready for Jesus to come.
I'm looking for Jesus every day.
Hallelujah. Me too. Oh, would I like to see him today.
I have a question.
Yes.
The thought of Ezekiel 38 and 39 and the Armageddon, they're not the same battle, are they? I hear people saying that 38 and 39 is Armageddon.
Now tell me again, what is the verse? I didn't hear that location.
Ezekiel 38 and 39, that battle.
No, that's the battle of Gog and Magog. That's the battle of the Arab people against the Jewish people. That will take place sometime between now and the great time when Jesus comes. I think it could be before the rapture. It could be after the rapture. But it's just a great war between the Arab world and the Israeli world.
I believe that.
Yes.
What about all the peace agreements making with the Arab Emirates? They've already made that peace deal.
Well, they made deal after deal, but none of them last, simply because...
That's right. But when the Antichrist comes, he's going to make them work.
That's exactly right. There's going to be some kind of deal for the 7 years, and Israel is going to be deceived. But at the end, Israel will be delivered, and Jesus is going to save them. And the Bible said every last living Jew at the end of the 7 years when Jesus comes to Jerusalem is going to be saved. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Keep on preaching, brother. I believe every word of it.
I know nothing but the Bible. God bless you. Friend, this has been really wonderful today. I might could take another call, but you'll have to come quickly. I'm here to be a blessing. The hour is late. The coming of the Lord is at the door. And if ever you've got yourself ready, this hour demands that you get yourself ready. Let me see where we are here. Got to find the time. I've got a minute and 10 seconds. Time for one call. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. I sure want you in church tomorrow. And I want your children in our school. Our school is up and going, kind of smaller than past because many people do not want to send their kids into a classroom. But we have classrooms, and they are being protected. And, man, are we doing everything to protect our children. We love them. They're important to us. Now, I hope you'll be in church with me tomorrow. You need to go to church. If you can go to the grocery store, you can go to church. If you go to the grocery store and won't come to church, I think you're a hypocrite, okay? Don't take me offensive. I don't mean to be offensive, but I'm just telling you, you can be in the house of God and you'll be safe here. I promise you, you will be safe here. I will do everything in my power to make sure you are safe at Paul Creek. I mean that with all of my heart. Now, folks, the coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. I love you. You're precious to me. I want you to be saved. I want you to know Jesus. Oh, here's my theme song. My theme song. Listen.
Save my grace. I've been saved by grace. wonderful, wonderful grace of mine.